How you doing, Sam?
No, I'm doing good. You know, I was, you know, I heard about Doc's death, and I was, you know, at first you're just a little sad, you know, a little bit, but, you know, honestly, you know, listening to his spiritual stories and just listening to hearing him talk and all this stuff he's gone through his whole life, he'd always kind of have that mentality of, oh, whenever the Lord calls me home, I'm excited for when that happens, but until then, I'm going to do my work. And so now he's been called home, and it's hard to be sad. He's a great guy, and he's chilling in heaven now. I'm really actually happy for him. Obviously, you don't want him dead. You miss him and stuff. But I think, you know, it's just like one of those times you can just clearly look at. He was a soldier for the Lord. He went through so much. He exposed so much darkness in the world. And Satan tried to get him so many times, but just could never do it. And then the Lord's like, all right, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're coming home. And so yeah, I appreciate you celebrating his life for sure.
Yeah, amen. And that's a good way to look at it, too, because from what I understand, I don't have all the information, but from what I understand, he didn't suffer. It seemed like he was unconscious most of the time when he was diagnosed with the brain tumor, and it took him quick. And so, you know, that's good. But yeah, I mean, he really did soldier on. He was a good friend, definitely of mine. I'm sure of yours. And I'm sure that I actually don't really know this. Like, you could just totally correct me. I might be wrong, but I knew Doc pretty well, and I know that he liked to talk, which was a good thing. So I'm sure that the online interviews that people can go and watch were you had him on the Sharpening Report yourself. I'm sure that was not the extent of your conversation with Doc.
Definitely not. No, he's always there trying to give you more advice and be, you know, encouraging, especially for me being younger in it and him been through it for so long. You know, we spent some time talking about, you know, different strategies and different things that he went through and some advice for me. And that's just the kind of guy he was. You know, he's always trying to give more insight than, you know, than he asked for, which is great.
What kind of things did he talk to you about, like off camera, that were most important to him, and what things did you mostly take away? What things did he say that were most important to you?
I would say just, you know why you're doing what you're doing. Like, why am I doing the Sharpening Report? What's my purpose behind it? Why am I, you know, is it just for numbers? Is it for fame? Is it for, you know, it's like, if that's the reason that you're doing it, it's not worth it. You're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be fulfilled. But if you're doing it because God has called you to do it, and to never lose sight of that, and to stay focused, and, you know, obviously pray a lot, put your armor on every day, that type of thing. Really, that's what was the biggest thing. We didn't have, you know, I only interviewed him once, so I only got to talk to him once on the phone. And so it's really just staying focused on the Lord and, you know, maintain that anointing. And that was it. That's something that I think about and try to stay focused all the time, you know, because you can get distracted by the numbers, you can get distracted by what YouTube's trying to do. And in the end, it doesn't matter if you're doing it for the Lord. And so that's just what I'm trying to stay focused on.
It's such a good way of looking at it, and that's absolutely how Doc handled his ministry. So, for those who aren't familiar, how did that interview go? Like, how did it get set up? What did you guys talk about? And how did it end? Like, what was because, you know, well, actually, maybe most people don't know this. Usually, when you set up an interview, as I don't know what we would be, content creators. I don't know what we would call us, but you know, usually when you set up an interview, you talk to the person for a while beforehand. You try to figure out what the show is. Occasionally it's something that you just don't really know. You just kind of jump into, but usually, and this was always my experience with Doc is, you know, we would kind of talk about it first, but you know, what made you decide that you wanted to bring him on the show? What did you guys talk about? And then once the interview was done, did you guys talk after that? And what was that like?
Well, Well, I had before, really, even before I met you, before I really started getting this whole thing, you know, I watched Doc, and his, a lot of his stuff on the Catholic Church was super fascinating. Obviously, his testimony is super interesting. And so I knew about Doc well before I got into doing any interviewing or anything like that. And so once I got onto the Sharpener Report, he's like on that list of people that I really wanted to get on the show, just for one, to say thank you for, you know, opening my eyes to so many things, but also just because he's super interesting. And so I, you know, with the interview, I asked him if he had any questions beforehand, and you know, he's like, well, who are you? Like, what are you doing here? Like, why should I talk to you? Obviously not like that, but he was like, what has the Lord put you through to bring you to this point that you're interviewing me? And so I just kind of told him my backstory a little bit, you know, how we met Josh, and, cause you guys were pretty close. So he knew you well. I think that's part of the reason he agreed to go on the Sharpener Report, cause he was so familiar with it. And so he kind of just talked about my background a little bit, and then we just jumped into it, started out with his testimony, just talking about his path through the Illuminati. And then it was closer to the election, so we talked about Donald Trump and the deep state and things like that. And, you know, from coming from the Illuminati, some game plans that they might have to try to step on Trump, and some things that we need to watch out for as our culture evolves. And then after the interview, I asked him, you know, those spiritual stories. I asked him if he had any encounters with angels or demons, or just miraculous moments of God. And, you know, if you watch the stories, then you're familiar with those answers. And then we just, you know, then I kind of what we talked about a minute ago, just like, you know, make sure your heart's on the right moment, your heart's focused on what you're supposed to do. And I think at that point in the conversation, he was eating dinner. So I didn't want to stick. I didn't want to hold him too long. I wanted to let him eat. But so it was just a nice, relaxing conversation. It's like one of the, you know, it's someone you talk to your whole life, and he's just, it's like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, he's super friendly and nice, easy to talk to. Sometimes these guys, the people that are on all these shows and stuff, get a little intimidated by them. And but with him, it was just gone immediately. He's just talking to another friend, and he's super nice and happy all the time. So that's
what, yeah, he was definitely inspirational to me in that regard, because when I first met him and when I first talked to him on the phone, I was intimidated, because I thought, okay, here's a guy that's been on TV, he's been on Oprah, you know, he's done all these amazing things. But no, you're absolutely right. That was my experience too. The second that I talked to him on the phone, all that melted away. There was no intimidation. He was an equal. You know, he never thought of himself as above anybody else. You know, he thought of himself as a man with a job that the Lord has given him in instructing the Christian church. But he never saw himself, at least nothing that I've seen, he's never thought of himself as higher or better in any way than any other Christian. I mean, we just watched a video clip of, and I thought this was so cool, because he's talking about Christian hypocrites and you know, how there are Christians out there that are total hypocrites in what they believe in. But then, you know, in that interview, this was years ago, but I asked, you know, now how do we deal with somebody like that? And then he said, basically, in all just absolute love and respect and kindness and humility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's so cool, because, like, on one hand, he's affirming the faith. He's talking about how, you know, it's important that we hold to high standards for ourselves, and even for each other as Christian brothers and sisters. But if we're going to approach a Christian brother or sister about a difference that we might have in what they're doing or what they're saying or what they're teaching or you know, whatever the case may be, you do it in all love, respect, and humility. And I that really stuck with me. That's something that, you know, God has a funny way okay, I just had like three thoughts at once in my brain, but I was going to say there are a lot of people out there who want to get into full-time Christian ministry, and they don't make it because they don't have the humility that it takes. I mean, you need to realize, if you're going to be in Christian ministry, you need to realize you're not better than anybody else. It doesn't matter if you know more. It doesn't matter if you think you know more. It doesn't matter. You're not better than anybody else, because there was a time where we didn't know anything. I mean, there was a time when we weren't saved. There was a time when we didn't know Jesus. There was a time when we were still yet sinners, like it says in Scripture, and yet Jesus still died for us. So that's what we all got to really hinge upon. And there are some people who try to break into Christian ministry because they have a theory about the Nephilim, or they have a theory about something or other, and they think that that's going to be enough to carry them. It's not. That might be a good way to get your foot in the door, maybe. But so many people have pet theories. So many people have what's really going to count. I think what the Lord honors is the attitude of the person. If it's their time, if they're ready to be in full-time ministry, because it is a very hard job. Sam, you haven't been doing this for very long, but you probably already realize now it's a really hard job and it's demanding. For those who there are probably a lot of people who might not have any idea who you even are. Who are you, Sam? How'd you get started in this? What's the sharpening report? What was it? What are you doing with it now? And what do you hope for the future?
Yeah, I'm just some bum off the street that was walking around and Josh reached his hand out. No.
Yeah, shows a lot for my judgment.
No, yeah. It's funny that you kind of mentioned that. We met at the Hear the Watchman conference about 2-3 years ago. And really what I was doing there was I was just thanking a lot of the people there just for the dedication and the research that they've done. I was working on a little bit of a ministry trying to connect people and just, you know, trying to get different ideas. And you were very supportive in that. We ended up getting lunch together. And a few months later, you called me like, hey, I got a project for you. And so it was a test.
Yeah. Well, you know what first really impressed me about you is I am so used to going to conferences. And you would think, and this is not how it is, but you would think that if you're like an author or something and you go to a conference, that people are going to come up to your table and ask you questions. You know, some people do that. But more often it's people, and I get why they do it. I totally get why they do it. I'm not knocking these people. I'm actually glad that they do it, because I'm glad that I can offer a service in another area of their life. But they want to tell you what their theory about whatever thing is, even if it's something you've never researched, never written about, never talked about. They want to tell you about that. But the reason is because they don't have anybody in their own church or family to talk to. So I totally get why they do it, and that's fine. That's most people. That's 85-90% of people that if you're an author or if you're a researcher that you're going to run into at a conference. What impressed me about you. And then the other few percent are people who will ask you baited questions. They'll ask you, what do you think about this? Hoping that you're going to affirm what they already believe. And then if you don't, they're going to challenge it, which is fine. Again, they should do that. We should always challenge other people and what they believe in. And I'm glad for, no pun intended, but sort of intended. I'm glad for the sharpening of those types of conversations. What impressed me about you is you were one of the only people who's ever come up to me and just wanted to know what I knew. You only had questions, and you had already decided or had been shown or had been guided into some type of Christian ministry, and you were still trying to figure that out. And you just had questions about how that works and how I do what I do and how it's been working for me. And you would have been fine, but you didn't challenge anything that I said. Every bit of advice, you asked for advice and you just accepted the advice. A lot of people that ask me for advice, they ask me so they can challenge the advice. That's most people. You didn't do that. So that impressed me. So, I knew that I needed a new host for the Sharpening Report. I couldn't do it anymore. I had a couple of people sort of filling in for a little while, but for many reasons, that just was not going to be a long-term solution. And I was talking to my wife, Christina, and I said, well, what about that? What about, it sounds weird saying kid, cause we're both young, but you're younger than I am. Yeah. And I said, what about that kid that we ran into at the Hear the Watchman conference, you know, what about him as a host? And, you know, me and Christina kind of talked about it. And I said, okay, there's a lot of risk. There's a lot of risk, because this could be a situation of I give kind of my life's work in ministry over to somebody that I don't really know. And that could be bad. What if I just gave him like a really small job that I don't care about? Like what if I saw how he does with just my newsletter? I actually do care about the newsletter, but I just don't have time to keep up with it. But if it's something that fails, I'm not going to lose anything out of it. So I got a hold of you and I said, here is the honest truth. I need somebody to run my newsletter. I'm not going to pay you. It's going to be totally charity work. Like you can put your own links in there if you want. And you can take credit for what you're doing. Maybe you can use it on a resume someday, but I can't afford to pay you. It would just be totally charity work and you don't have to do it. Would you be interested? And then you wanted to do it. You did that for, I think, 2 months.
Yeah,
maybe three.
Yeah, well, what you said when you gave me that project is you said, oh, it's just into the multiverse right now because I don't have anyone for the Sharpening Report. And I was like, well, if you need someone to fill in for the Sharpening Report.
I was hinting around a little bit, hoping that you would pick up on it. But that was kind of what I had in mind. And I wanted to see how you did that. The first month was amazing. The second month was even better. And then I realized, okay, this is the guy. This is the host of the Sharpening Report. And you've been doing it for, how long has it been? It's been well over a year now, right? A couple of years?
It was a year in June, so about a year and a half now.
Wow, and you're doing phenomenal work with it. For people who want to go and check it out, how can they find the Sharpening Report? What types of guests do you have on? What are your interview styles? Get people familiar with the show.
Yeah, well, the Sharpening Report's mainly on YouTube right now, youtube.com/Sharpening Report. I also have a website, sharpeningreport.com. It's also on Blog Talk, the Sharpening Report. Hope you're catching the theme here. It's on iTunes as well. I've been trying to figure out the identity of the Sharpie Report as I go and try to, you know, what is it exactly? Right now it's an interview based show. Anyone that I find interesting or the Lord leads me to talk to. It's obviously Christian based and we talk a lot about fringe topics. Like we just talked about transhumanism. We talk about politics. We talk about, you know, just world events and how they relate spiritually. But I've had an agnostic on before. I'm not afraid to have people who would disagree with me. I enjoy those types of conversations. So really it's just me asking a question. And then if I agree with them, I usually just, you know, it's just turns into a conversation of sharing ideas. And if I disagree with them, then it turns into me more just asking questions to try to get a feel for what they believe and let them get their ideas out. If you don't enjoy listening to me talk right now, that's great. Cause I don't do a whole lot of talking during the actual show because I let the guests go because they're the interesting and educated ones. So it's just a very relaxed conversation. There was like, as it gets bigger, I constantly check myself to make sure I'm not getting full of myself and, you know, just to maintain that relaxing and enjoyable conversation. At the end of the show, I try to get the guest to tell his favorite joke. It's very informative. It's fun. It's laid back. And today, actually tonight, it's posted every Friday and YouTube just came out with this new premiere thing.
Yeah, what is that all about? I've been wanting to look into it, and I just don't know anybody that uses it. Have you tried it? What do you think about it?
I tried it today because all of my interviews are pre-recorded, so I don't have an opportunity to go live on YouTube and actually interact with the audience as much. But with this premiere section, you record your video and then you post it and you schedule it for a certain time, and then it basically runs it like it's a live video, but you're just uploading the video. So I was able to interact with the chat, and it was the first time that I did it, and so I didn't really do any like promotion for it. I just wanted to see how it would work, and it went really well. Talked to some of the people listening, and we had a good conversation about the topic. So that was fun, and yeah, it's just a good time. I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. It's just me having a conversation with people who are smarter than me.
Well, that's awesome, and I love that you're bringing on people that that you might disagree with or that might disagree with you. That's something that I always wanted to do with the Sharpening Report, but I had. What, 120 episodes where I never did that? You know, they were all Christian, basically. I was afraid that if I had an agnostic on or an atheist or something, that I would lose a bunch of subscribers. It really needed, the show needed a new host to be able to venture into that territory. And I'm glad that happened because I've been doing that on Into the Multiverse. Mm-hmm. So I had Zoltan Istvan on Into the Multiverse, and he's obviously a transhumanist, an atheist, and just everything that you know, we would think is just is wrong and terrible. Mm. But I still maintain he's not a bad guy. You know, I mean, he's not, you know, I guess in the eyes of the Lord, just in the same respects as we're all bad people, unless we come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and accept him as our savior, then we can be redeemed. But outside of all that, just on a personal level, he's a really nice, genuine guy. And we totally disagree on everything. And I thought, well, here's somebody who I could interview on a show that pushes boundaries, like Into the Multiverse does. We definitely pushes boundaries. Sharpening Report, when I was hosting it, didn't really. Sharpening Report for me was like, this is the fringe Christian show. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it's branched out beyond that. That is awesome. So Multiverse, and because I've been trying to do that with Multiverse too. So I had on Zoltan. He is not a Christian at all. He's very critical, respectfully. He's respectful about it, but he's very critical of Christianity. But with Zoltan, I really do believe that he wants to believe. I even asked him right on the show, what would it take for you to believe in Jesus Christ right now? And he said I would have to, he would have to show himself to me, and I would have to see the holes in his hands and his feet, and I would have to see that. So I said, well, if he did it for you, it wouldn't be the first time he's done it for somebody. So, you know, that was kind of the deal with the apostles too.
Yeah.
I'm really praying for a Paul-like conversion with Zoltan. I really think if we pray for him, and I mean, it's going to be up to Jesus, it's going to be up to Zoltan, but I really think that he's somebody who could be an immense warrior for Christ. I mean, can you imagine if he became a Christian, what a powerful testimony that would be? He's got a chip in his hand right now. He's got a chip in his hand. Mm. I think technically it's in his left hand. So, so I don't know how much it really lines up with Revelation, but anyway.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, like, yeah, those types of conversations when you bring people on your show that are just the opposite of who you are, and you're able to have a conversation with them, like, that's ministry in itself, just being able, yes, to have those conversations. And something that I wrestle with is when you invite someone on the show you disagree with, like, you don't want to be a part of their movement and pushing their ideas, especially if it's anti-Christian. And so it's like, how far do I want to go down this road? But at the same time, it's like, oh, I'm showing, like, this is like, I'm a reasonable, logical Christian that's wanting to have discussions, that's educated, and I'm trying to break this, like, the mold or the stereotype of a dumb, blind Christian. And so, like, having those educated discussions with different people really shows the world about, you know, that's like what Christianity is actually about, is we're trying to find the truth, and this is where we found the real truth. And so it is difficult, because you don't want to turn people off because you have someone on who's different thinking, but at the same time, it's a powerful ministry moment that you're able to participate in. So it's kind of like, you just got to go with where the Lord leads you.
Yeah, and that's the key. I think that's the key. And this is what I realized with Zoltan. It's exactly what you just said. You don't handle it as an interview. You handle it as a discussion. So yeah, with Zoltan, because everybody that I have on Into the Multiverse, or even this show, really, except for this one, because we're talking. Actually, Peck Underground Church, you're our second guest. We've only had two guests on this. But I've handled it like discussions. But I did that with Zoltan. That was like the first time I really did that. I didn't handle it as an interview. I handled it as point counterpoint kind of thing. You know, he would give his point, and then I would give my counterpoint. I would give my point. He would give his counterpoint. So everybody watching got a good dose of both sides, and then people can make up their own minds. And I don't think we need to protect people from those types of conversations. So I love that you're doing that. And that's good that you're handling it as a discussion. That's the way to do it. We can probably bring this back to Doc. Do you want to, how long do you have tonight? I know it's Thanksgiving weekend and it's really busy, but I was probably going to do a couple more videos and probably read some of his blogs. Do you want to stick around for some of that, or do you got to go? What's your time limit tonight?
Well, I've been working all day, actually. So I'm a little tired, but I can stick around for a little bit.
All right. Do you want to stick around for a couple videos?
Yeah, sure.
They're all short clips, yeah, that I've been doing. Like
3 hour long videos, then I don't think I can stick
around. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think I could either. Yeah. They're nothing like that. They are, I have a bunch of, clips from when I interviewed him on the Sharpening Report. I played the two spiritual stories that you did, and oh my gosh, beautifully done. The music that you put in there, you got a really good way of knowing when to have. Well, it's minor and major chords. You know when to kind of, you know, just have the soft music in the background, but then when to bring it up at the uplifting part. Just beautiful job. I love that you're doing that. And and like I said, I'm not gonna lie about it. That had me choking up a couple of times because Doc really did talk quite a bit. I've noticed this in the clips that when I interviewed him. I interviewed him one time for like 2 or 3 hours, and then I split it up into a bunch of different clips. And so we're sort of going through some of those clips. And I realized he actually did talk a lot. And I didn't see it then, but I see it now. He did talk a lot about, you know, the afterlife and when he dies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that hits home with me because I think about that a lot. I kind of talk about it a lot. That's something that I think all of us should just get more comfortable with talking about because it's going to happen to each and every one of us. Yeah. And I think when somebody dies, when somebody that we all know dies, that is the time to do it.
Yeah.
Well, that is, yeah.
Before we dive into the next video, sure. This is something I've always wrestled with, and this is a question because I really can't figure it out. To me, like when a Christian dies, it's like why? This is just logically thinking is why are people sad? Like obviously, when someone I love dies, I'm sad. But if they're a Christian, like they're going to a way better place. Like isn't it just a purely selfish thing to be sad? This is kind of I don't know, maybe a crass time to be talking about this, but...
No, it's not at all. This is a perfect time to talk about it.
But even Jesus, he wept when Lazarus died, and he knew he was going to bring him back to life. Like, it's just like why is that? I've never been able to wrap my mind around that.
I think there's a couple reasons. I think first, because we live in a very atheistic culture, especially with science and all of that, we live in a culture where it's kind of ingrained in us that death is the end. If we lived in a culture where we were taught death is the beginning and it's like a graduation, which, you know, we as Christians know that, but putting it into practice is different. But I think for me, I think that's part of it. So part of that kind of hits home with all of us. But I think the other part for me, I know I'm not going to be able to see him again until I pass on. Now, that could be tomorrow or it could be 80 years. I don't know. You know, we don't know. It's the great unknown, you know. It's just this big question mark. Like, I get sad when a friend moves away. Like, if I have a friend that moves away, it's a little different now in our culture because we can always call people and we can do email and do chats like this. I mean, you're in Michigan right now. I'm in Missouri, and yeah. You know, we're able to stay in touch really easily. But when I was a kid, when a friend moved away, that was almost like they died. Like it was almost that level of just sadness because you knew this was before, you know, the internet really. You knew you're not ever going to see this person again. At least not in this life. So for at least a few decades. You know, if everything goes well and you get to live to your 80s or 90s, you're not going to see. So like the way that I think about it with Doc, it's really sad because for one thing, I do have some regret. I regret that I did not put more of an effort to invite him back on the channel to interview him more before he passed on. Because again, you don't know when anybody dies. He was only 62. I mean, it's not young, but it's not really old either. It's not like he was like 85 or 90 or 100 or something. You always think you have more time with these people. I don't know how old Tom Horn is, but I think he's older now than Doc was, I think. But so it's like somebody like Tom, who I'm really close with, and I could probably have him on this channel anytime I want. But it's just when you're alive and somebody else is alive and you're really close with them, you just think it's going to be like that forever. So when that ends, I think part of the sadness and part of the depression and the tears and the grieving process is realizing that, oh, there's actually this unnatural thing called death, because I do believe we're all spiritual beings. I do believe that we're all supposed to have eternity. We're all supposed to live eternally. It's just some people don't choose that path, you know, towards Jesus. But I think that's when it sets in, like, oh, it's actually not that we're going to be around with these people forever. Now it's real. Now it's this person is gone and I cannot talk to them until I'm gone too. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a reminder of how tragic death is, especially in a culture where we are taught that death is this beautiful thing. Euthanasia is this beautiful thing. Abortion is this beautiful thing. I mean, we live in a culture that basically worships death. And when we're inundated with that, I think that when a friend, a loved one, or a family member passes on, it's a reminder, oh, death is actually a really ugly thing and it's really terrible. And I don't take that much time to think about it. And maybe I should, even though it's hard. And so I think that all adds with the sadness, but overall, I think you're right. You know, Doc is in a much better place than we are now. He's doing just fine. He's like, I knew Doc pretty well and I got to spend some time with him. I think there's a part of him that where he is right now is finding it amusing that we're even doing this video, yeah. Because he was also really humble and he's going to think, who am I that you're going to, even talk about me for this long. But, I still go back to that memory at the prophecy conference in Colorado where like it was hilarious because he was making fun of me in like the most hilarious way because he remembered who Josh Peck was before anybody knew who Josh Peck was. I mean, he's been with me since the beginning, since before I even was in Christian ministry. And he kept going up to my table and saying, oh my gosh, it's Josh Peck. I can't believe it. And he was making just a big spectacle of it. It was hilarious. But you know, he was making fun of me because he's known who I was since before I knew who I was.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what, you know, those types of friendships, those types of relationships we have in our lives, they can teach us. But a lot of those lessons, unfortunately, we don't learn those lessons until those people pass on. And I think that's just part of human nature. And it sucks. I hate it. You know, I mean, every time somebody passes on, every time somebody dies, we should use that as a learning opportunity to realize, look, all the people that are alive now, they're not going to be there forever. Sam, you might die tomorrow. I don't know. I might die tomorrow. Yeah. I might die in my sleep tonight. Yeah, we don't know. We're never guaranteed anything in this life. We're not guaranteed the next breath that we breathe. But we all take that for granted. Me, myself included, none of us take that seriously. We don't think about it because we also don't want to become obsessed with it. That, you know, that's the other problem. There are people that become obsessed with it. If you become obsessed with it, then you become nihilistic and then you want to go shoot up a school or something. Yeah, so there's like downsides to thinking too much. But I think we can all stand to kind of talk about it a little bit more and think about it a little bit more because Doc, of all people, I mean, yeah, he was 62, but that's not really that old. I did not see him dying anytime soon. Like, that really took me by surprise. It took me by surprise that he was sick. When he got sick, we only got a couple of months warning. But then I thought, you know, we'll just all rally together. We'll pray for him. And, you know, he'll be okay. He'll get better. But not this time. And we all have our time for that. We all kind of know it. And when somebody that we know, even if it's somebody that we've never met, but we follow online or whatever, when somebody like that passes, I think it's a reminder to each and every one of us that our time is coming too. My time is coming too. Your time is coming too. Everybody else that's watching, your time is coming too. I think it's a little bit of a reminder of that we never know when our time is. And no matter what, we all die with regrets. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us. We all die with regrets. There are always things that we wish we could have done differently, or that we wish we had time more time where we could have done more. I mean, in a lot of these interviews with Doc, he's talking about that he wants to put out all these DVDs and everything. I'm sure he didn't get out every single DVD that he wanted to get out. I'm sure he didn't. We're all gonna leave this world with unfinished business, but I think that's why it's important to talk about it. It's important to realize it, and it's important to cherish every day because it just might be our last. Are you up for a couple of videos?
Yeah, I'll do a couple. I get to bed.
They're short. They're only a few minutes long.
It is an hour later here than it is over at your place.
Yeah, I know. And for me, it's even late. For me, it's 10:30, so it's like 11:30 where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna kindly step off of my soapbox now, and my phone's like blowing up right now, so that's a good sign. But all right, let's put it on screen share, and we will. The infinite regress. All right, we'll see what we got. Okay, so earlier, for those who are just joining us, there's a bunch of people who are just joining us. So Doc Marquis, I interviewed him on Dictators of the Illuminati. That was a big one that we talked about. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Sam Johnson here at The Sharpening Report. You can find that on YouTube. If you see this right here, this screen cap, then you will know that that is the one that you are supposed to subscribe to. He only has 10,000 subscribers, and actually, I use the word only loosely because that is a lot more subscribers than I had. He's only been doing this for like a year or something.
Yeah,
I had 100, maybe. Like he's doing an amazing job. But go ahead and subscribe. It'll help him out a lot, and it will help you out a lot because there's a lot of great information on the Sharpening Report. So we did the Exposes tradition with, you know, of men and Christianity with love. We did that one, personal, life, family. We did that one, Doc Marquis and the Rapture. That is an hour and 41 minutes. So we're just gonna skip past that. But if you want to watch that again, that is on the Sharpening Report channel. That's not on Josh Peck Disclosure. Also Doc Marquis with David Schnitger on, Southwest Radio. That's also Sharpening, Report. So make sure you go there. We did this one here about spiritual stories. That was one of the ones that he did. Now these two here are prophecy in the news, and they are also half an hour long. So those are kind of those are probably a little long for this type of cast. Occult origins of Halloween. So let's just scroll through here. How about exposes the terrifying origin of bobbing for apples? That's only 3.5 minutes. And we did do this Christian hypocrisy. So a lot of these that we have now, they're, you know, druidic human sacrifice of Stonehenge. A lot of this gets into like the really nitty gritty, weird stuff. And I don't mean weird in a derogatory sense, just weird as in like I research weird stuff too. And we should. So what about bobbing for apples? Is that really as bad as anybody would say? Like, I mean, isn't that just having fun? Well, let's find out. Let's find out what Doc Marquis says about bobbing for apples. Sorry, guys.
Get a new servant next week.
I'll start it over again. I forgot if I have the earphones in, you can't hear it. So here we go again.
The reason they would go to those castles and such is those people had money, so they had servants that they could afford to just pass over and get a new servant next week. You know, after wandering about in those buckboards or carts or whatever they're called, I can't think of them, wagons, I don't know. That's a correct term, I just can't remember. But after being out on, you know, the trails for 3-4 hours, they would bring back all those people and they would put them, they would literally tie them in the Wicker Man in those cages. Now, if they had spillover, if you would, they would put them in those wooden cages.
Okay.
Right. Now, here's where the Druids would have, shall we say, their version of fun and games. They would take about a dozen or so of those victims, and they would line them up in a row in front of that cauldron. They would take an apple, throw it inside the cauldron that was filled, if you remember, and tell them, if you can get that apple out on one try with your teeth, we will let you go.
Wow, so that's why we bob for apples now.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you were given that offer, would you take it?
Well, sure.
Let me remind you something. Before the Druids left, they lit a fire underneath that cauldron, didn't they?
Oh, right, yeah.
boiling temperature of a liquid is 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ouch.
Would you do it now?
I don't think I could.
Well, I'll tell you right now, just about everyone did. And you see, the reason was that was going to be their only ticket out.
Yeah.
See, if you cooperated with the Druids, you would go for the apple. But if you didn't, they would behead you on the spot.
Wow.
Now, those who cooperated, as I said, they knew that this was their only ticket out. But think about, you know, the medical ramifications. You know, that's why I'm called Doc. I have my medical degree. I have a background in medicine.
Yeah.
And these people would plunge their head into 212 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, the flesh is just beginning to melt off their faces, their necks. I mean, and if they did grab the apple, I mean, the Druids kept to their words, would cut their bonds and release them. But my goodness, what did these people go through afterwards? I mean, think about how many of them were permanently hearing impaired because of that liquid pouring down their ear canal, or having respiratory problems as the liquid was pouring down their esophagus as they were trying to desperately save their lives by grabbing that apple with their teeth, or who knows how many suffered permanent eye damage caused it.
Yeah, wow. You know?
Yeah, but to the Druids, this was fun.
That's awful.
You know, but as you pointed out, yeah. Hey, guess what, everyone? This is where you get bobbing for apples from.
Wow.
And,
all right. Yeah, he brought out some amazing stuff. Like, I didn't know until he told me that that's where bobbing from apples actually came from. I mean, Sam, do you have any thoughts about that?
You know, it's just one. It's just another one of those holiday things that you learn about, and you're like, man, how come we are doing this in our culture today? It's just insane. You know, I love the beginning of that clip the most, just because it was just classic Doc in the beginning of that, you know, kind of just a little goofy, but then it gets straight to the point and talks about some groundbreaking truth. I mean, that clip is a summary of who Doc was.
Oh yeah, definitely. I love that. And I always loved that about it because he was so genuine. And, you know, I wonder now, like, how much should the origins of something dictate what we do today? Because I mean, like, there might be families now. I play, like, I don't know. I play games like chess or canasta or something with my kids. I have no clue about those origins. I really don't know what the origins of chess are. For all I know, they could be super occultic. Like, I really have no clue. Playing cards, I know have occultic origins. But it's interesting. And, you know, if Doc were alive today, I would ask him, where do we draw those lines? How do we know? Well, incense burning. Like, we burn incense in our house because it smells good, and it just smells good. That's all it is. But there are also occultic groups who will use incense for incantations and devil worship and, you know, all this stuff. So, like, what I wish I would have asked him and what I wish I could now is, where do we draw those lines? Because he was one of those people that you could ask that. You could ask something like that, and you know, he would think about it, and then he would tell you what he thought. And I never asked that, but I wonder that even today. You know, where do we draw those lines? And I mean, I just came out with a book, The Second Coming of the New Age, talking about how a lot of Christians have a lot of New Age beliefs, but I still don't. And you know, we sort of tried to I think we did a pretty good job of defining the lines between Christianity and New Age, but still there are. Something like people have asked me about essential oils, mm-hmm. And I say, look, if you're just burning essential oils because it smells good in your house, or you just like how it feels on your skin, or you're trying to help your kid's asthma with it or something, because some people have used it for that, then fine. But if you attach a spiritual meaning to it, then I think that's where the issue is. If it's something transcendental from just physical reality, like obviously. You know, if you have eucalyptus essential oil and you put it on your kid's chest or something, if they're having a hard time breathing, maybe it'll help, you know, and that's great if it does. But if you attach a spiritual meaning to that, a new age weird spiritual meaning to that, well, then that, I think that's where the problem is. But yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's a good question about Halloween. Like, you know, because today when Christians, a lot of Christians celebrate Halloween, when they do it, they're not thinking of Samhain. They're not thinking of any of that stuff. They're thinking, oh, my kid gets to get candy today. And so where is that line drawn? I don't know that I even have the answer to it yet. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's to me, there's certain holidays that you can, as long as you know the truth behind it, that disarms a lot of it. I mean, things like Halloween for me, there's just nothing redeeming about it. You're dressing up as something you're not. You're handing out, you know, candy, which is terrible for you. You know, be sure you have some fun with family. But to me, Halloween, there's just nothing. There's no possible redemption in it. There's nothing. There's no even Christian attempt to make it something that's okay. But I mean, things like Christmas, I know a lot of people hate Christmas just because of, you know, the pagan origins to a lot of that. To me, it's a good time to get together with family and think about God, which I don't think that's, like, if you can boil it down to pulling the positives out of it. Same thing with Easter. I don't know, there's a lot of pagan things, but again, if you're taking the time to read scripture and remember that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that's a good time to do it. As long, and maybe just avoid the Easter and the eggs and things like that, because that potentially takes away from the holidays. Same thing with Santa Claus. Like, that can instill, you know, you're starting to, as a kid, you believe in this omnipresent, all knowing, all, you know, everywhere being that gives you gifts. And then you grow up and find out that's a lie. It's like that can, that's easy to lead into people not believing in God anymore. And so, like, that can hurt the development of a child. Whereas if you just say, hey, it's Christmas, we're gonna think about God and the love that he has for us, I think that's okay. So that, to me, that's where the line is, like understanding the truth of it and then just trying to pull the positive Christian things out of it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that I've thought about too, because, like, actually, if people follow me and my work, then you guys will know that me and Donna Howell, we host Chalk Talk together. We disagree about the Easter thing. But actually, she brought up a good point that I might have to now recant. I might have to recant some things that I said about Easter. Because, like, you know, Donna brought up that, you know, when you talk about Easter, you know, there's all this ancient pagan, you know, stuff associated with it. And then my main point is, like, yeah, but, you know, people celebrating Easter now, they're not thinking of pagan deities. They're thinking about Jesus. And yeah, of course, the rabbits and the eggs don't make any sense with Jesus. They don't make any sense with it at all. But if you ask anybody, what is Easter all about, what is it all about? They're either going to say a rabbit and eggs, or they're going to say it's Passover with Jesus. So it's associated with Jesus. And it's the same with Christmas, you know. It's the one time of year where the country gets together to at least know something about Jesus happened. Even though, yes, technically it's not the right time and it's not the exact date and all. Okay, all that. I'll give everybody all that. But Donna actually caught me on something. And we're going to do a Chalk Talk about this at some point. But she texted me in a hilarious way. Me and Donna, I mean, we're basically brother and sister, so we joke around with each other a lot. But she was watching some of my interviews with Steve Bancars, and actually I think it was in one of the Chalk Talk ones. I think she was helping close caption, or she was helping do something with Chalk Talk where she was watching some of her videos. And in that, I said that, you know, when it comes to yoga, that's what it was, yoga. When it comes to yoga, it doesn't matter if you know the origins or not. You were opening yourself up to demons. And then she brilliantly, and I got to give it to her because she's right. She's absolutely right. She brilliantly came back and said, oh, you hypocrite, you know, as a joke. She said, but she's like, You say that people are going to open themselves up to demons because of yoga, but what about Easter? You know, because she's kind of anti-Easter. She's pro-Passover and all that. Mm-hmm. I had to think about that, and I thought, you know what?
you're right, and we should do a Chalk Talk on this as soon as possible. I think you convinced me. But that's really cool. Like I like having good, respectful, loving disagreements with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because it means that we get to have a good conversation. So I do have a Chalk Talk out there with Donna where I was pro Easter, and I think I might actually have to be anti Easter now. I think that she has convinced me, and for the reasons that you brought up too. But yeah, same with Halloween and all that stuff.
That's when you know you're in a good place, is when you enjoy being proven wrong, because then you learn something. Like, that's when you know you got your head on straight.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And like, oh, okay, because there's a fear among, and then we're going to do another video, but there's a fear among some Christian researchers, some authors, that think that if they change anything on past books, you know, if they write a book about something, then they have to maintain that forever. That's not true. It's just not true. You can always do an updated version. I've had my first book, Disclosure, I've had about 6 or 7 updated versions of that. You can always do an updated version of it. But also, that's not the point. Like, the point is to get truth out as much as you can, and we're not always going to have 100% truth. Nobody is. Very special thank you to Bible History Science, excuse me, $4.99. Wrote, I found that Antiochus IV desecrated the temple on Christmas like the Antichrist will, so I decided to celebrate Hanukkah instead, but that's just me. Hey, that's great. I'm not familiar with the reference. I remember the name. I got to do some more research into Antiochus IV, because I think there's a lot of parallels between that dude and the coming Antichrist. But thank you so much, Bible History Science, and I totally get where you're coming from. But yeah, I mean, you know, I had to think about that kind of stuff a lot. So, and even today, you know, I still do. There are good Christian brothers and sisters who don't celebrate Christmas. I right now think Christmas is okay, but it depends on if you are doing the Santa elves thing or if you're doing the Jesus thing. So for us, we've never taught our kids about Santa. We've never done that, but we have taught them, okay, you know, other kids that you're going to talk to, they think Santa's a thing, and you know, just let them have their fun. Don't be the one that ruins it for everybody. But we told them the story, the real story about Saint Nick. We told him about Saint Nick, and we told him, you know, really what people are celebrating. They're celebrating the birth of Jesus, even though the birth of Jesus was not December. Likely that, though, I will say likely that was a conception, because I think the actual birth was around September, in the middle of September, maybe even 9/11, which would be interesting. But I think there's good reason to believe that is the date. And if that's so, you trace that back 9 months, and then you get, you know, end of December, somewhere around there. So when we celebrate Christmas, maybe we're celebrating the conception, but really it's all about Jesus. And so with our family, you know, we teach our kids that it's all about Jesus. We do that really with all the holidays. Anytime there's a holiday, even with Halloween, you could even say, well, you know, the devil tries to take what is God's and tries to twist it around for what is his own. So Halloween, you could think of that as the devil's holiday, but at the same time, Satan has never had an original thought of his own, and he is always going to try to take from God what is his. Now, I'm not saying that God ever ordained a Halloween. I'm not saying that at all. But if you actually look back, and you do some math in the book of Genesis, you'll find out that the date of our current Halloween is the date of the flood in Genesis. I don't think that's a coincidence.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I've been able to read some of the comments on your sidebar here, because I get to see your screen. And a lot of people are saying things like, their parents used to read scripture to them on Christmas and Easter. And, you know, the number of people that go to church on those 2 days is through the roof. And so to me, that's just like, that's redeeming those. There's a lot of negative things, but those are great points on, oh yeah, I'm turning this in and only glorifying God during this time. And I mean, I can't see anything wrong with that. Right. Even if the dates are wrong, but yeah. And also someone else pointed out that it is about midnight here, So I think I'm going to be hitting the road, Josh, but I appreciate you having me on.
Here, let me take it off screen, sir, so I can give you a proper goodbye. But I totally understand. Oh, everybody gets the infinite regress now. Oh, here we go. No, I don't want to stop broadcast. Oh, no. Hang on. There's a way that I can, like, stop this. Like, I can make this end. What?
Ooh, more infinite boxes.
It, like, just went away. Usually there's, like, a stop screen share option. Okay, come on now. There we go again.
There's me infinitely gone.
You are screen sharing. Stop. That's what we want to do. Okay, there we go. Anyway, figured it out. But yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. You know, if you can bring it back to Jesus Christ, that's the most important part. And I absolutely do not say to any Christian that they should celebrate any holiday that they don't want to, celebrate. If you don't want to celebrate Christmas or Easter or Halloween, obviously, or St. Patrick's Day or Valentine's Day, what else is there? We get a couple a month. If you don't want to celebrate those, that is awesome. And honestly, you probably got some stuff that you can teach me. So, that's good. I would never suggest that somebody celebrate a holiday they're not comfortable with. Sam, once again, what is your website? What is your YouTube channel? Where can people find you? And again, brother, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing I noticed in that video, the video you just shared is, man, if you keep it up, Josh, you're looking absolutely fantastic with the weight that you're losing. Keep it up.
Hey, thank you.
Congratulations on the growth of your family as well. The Sharpening Report, it is on YouTube, youtube.com/The Sharpening Report. I have a website, sharpeningreport.com. It's on Blog Talk and iTunes, the podcast as well. It's audio only. You can follow me at Twitter at Sam T. Johnston. We also have a Facebook group called The Sharpener Report. I think that's it. So yeah, I hope everyone can come over and be a part of the Sharpener Report community. So that's, I'm running out of brain power now because it's so late. So I hope you have a great night.
Yeah, understandable. And please, everybody who is watching, go and subscribe to The Sharpening Report. Again, Sam, thank you so much for joining. We're going to have to do this again. I don't have anything open until January, but I would love to do a full Peck Underground Church with you. Any topic you want, we'll talk about. How does that sound?
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. I'll see you later, brother. Nice. And go ahead. Yeah. Was that it?
That was it. I was just saying goodbye.
Okay. I interrupted you. I felt bad.
I'm going to sleep as we talk. It's okay.
Okay. Have a good night. We love you, brother. Yeah.